Coronavirus delays and delays. What are we going to do as gamers? Find out on this week's podcast. All right. So it's just
I wasn't ready for coronavirus. We've been getting a bunch of those, you know?
Yeah, we've gotten a bunch of emails already saying, hey, they already pulled the study abroad programs from Italy and South Korea.
Yeah, so, my cousins were studying abroad at their schools. They had to come back.
Yeah.
They're in Spain right now, heading back to the United States. They should be here sometime next weekend.
Well, that sucks.
Yeah, because, like, they were super excited. And, like, thank God I was planning on using my spring break time to visit them in Italy.
Oh.
Thank God I didn't do shit about it. I did not bother to get any plane tickets because that would be a hassle
right.
to get through, especially with, like, exams and everything yeah. right now. But yeah, that stuff is kind of crazy. Like, they even delayed the James Bond movie.
Yeah, until like November.
Because of the whole international idea of like not bringing people to the movie theaters
when there's a disease outbreak currently going yeah. on.
Because they're probably thinking a large majority of their audience is going to come from China.
Yeah. Which is so, like, yeah, makes sense.
Yeah. So this week we've got me, Peter.
As always, I'm the host, DJ, and then Chad's not here. He's busy with midterms.
Chad's not here, and we might be getting a new person
soon.
I'm interviewing him. He's a very good guy. Hopefully, he'll be interested in joining the podcast soon. So, yeah, that's some of the basic news from UCGC, from at least Digital Media Team. So, on top of delays and all that stuff, coronavirus is kind of crazy.
Yeah.
Like, even, did you see one of the news things I wanted to talk about real quick was the I'm 8-Bit team?
Yeah, they dropped out at E3. Even though, like Emerald City Comic Con still going on, as well as E3 will be still going on as well.
As of right now.
As of right now, yes.
As of what we
even
know.
Even though California is, like, listed as one of the highest cases within the United States. Because they're the ones who get, like, the people from Asian countries, usually. Not like people, like, fly from China to New York
mm-hmm.
because they want to. They'd rather just go from China to LA, and then that's it. So, we'll see. Interesting to see that. One thing that I did read inside the news was that Hideo Kojima, Death Stranding, all that kind of stuff, that good guy, he pulled out of GDC, the game dev conference.
He's been pulling out of a lot of conferences.
Yeah.
He's like, I don't want my team to be... I care about their health.
Exactly. Yeah. Which is good. And I understand that. Because they're not the largest studio. But they're the kind of people that kind of need to be healthy in order to work. And that's what I think that a lot of people should do when taking care of yourself. Don't go to class sick. Stay home and work. And one of the most interesting things I've seen so far out of this whole shenanigan with coronavirus... is that one...
Shenanigans. The way you make it sound like, it's just whatever.
It's just the amount of, like, okay, you work for Company A. How well does Company A work with people working from home?
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's good right now that a lot of companies are dropping out, trying to, like, say, like, you know, stay at home, don't come. Like, even our school, even UConn's, like, even the smallest little thing, like stay home
and wash
your hands every day. Like, so now I'm going to use it as my excuse for every exam I have next week. Sorry, I'm sick. Can't come to class. Well, like, not to create fear mongering or anything, but like even some teachers have already started setting up
online
courses for if UConn eventually has to shut down classes. I doubt it's going to happen.
No, I don't really think it's going to shut down physically.
Yeah.
Until we get that one person who confirms, like, oh, UConn shuts down Corona because of Corona.
Yeah.
That's the only thing I really see for going to shut down school for the longest time.
Mm-hmm.
But we did actually make the news on Twitter for pulling our students away from study abroad, which I think is really interesting.
I mean, we're not definitely the only school doing it.
Yeah.
But... it's the smart thing to do. Like, get every student out of countries that have high percentage
cases.
And then I'm surprised even still, like, some places that have it in the United States aren't really pulling things out. Like, who knows what it might do to some events going on campus and not just here, but at other places like Rutgers and Northeastern. all those places that also have big gaming stuff. Not suggesting anything, just you know, it's something to think about when it comes to this thing. Because it's surprisingly, like, it came out as a meme for a long time, and now that it's here on our shores, it's kind of like, you know what, maybe we should take this just a bit seriously. Yeah. It's not just about the beer anymore. It's not, let's make fun of Coronas. Which, by the way, their stocks went down hard.
I know. It was like 6% of, like, or like 36% of people wouldn't buy Corona just because of the name Corona.
Because of coronavirus, because people are idiots. Because people are dumb. You know, I was listening to the H3 podcast, and they were talking about some cases and like polls and stuff on how people should be like, how to keep themselves protected, how to be healthy throughout this whole thing. And one person deadass wrote on their poll, should I drink bleach to protect myself from coronavirus?
I'm pretty sure that's a joke, though.
I don't think it is.
You sure?
I really don't. I think people are dumb, man. Stocks going down because people think coronavirus is in Corona beer. Come on, people are freaking dumb. Granted, Corona beer is not good anyway. I mean,
this podcast is sponsored by Bud Light. It's not
sponsored by Bud Light. We all, dude, that'd be so screwed.
Did I tell you my
is Bud Light a Coca-Cola product? Technically,
I'm not sure, but I know my friend's college. He goes to a college in Canada, and they're sponsored by Bud Light. So they literally.
Because over there the age is 18,
and over here is 21. So if we, because like we get our license at 18 though, and plus Americans always like kind of have this factor of overindulgence. You know what I'm saying?
No, explain one more.
So like Americans are always excessive in the use of certain things.
Oh yeah, we're fat.
Exactly. We're
fat.
Yeah,
I eat a lot. Trust me, I know I'm fat. I just got back. I just before I came here, I was at the gym, and I was like, I hate this. It's the worst thing in the world.
Yeah, that's fair.
I'm fat. The camera makes me lose 20 pounds, not gain it.
Yeah.
So let's talk about video games. Yeah, minus back on track. Coronavirus. Minus that, even though it does affect gaming.
Yeah, let's talk about what's coming out in the next couple of weeks. So we have Animal Crossing and Doom.
What are you going to get?
I'm getting Animal Crossing and Persona 5 Royale. That's the two big games I'm already getting this month. I already spent a little too much on card games already. I spent like $20 on a tin for Yu-Gi-Oh, which is not bad because I
20?
Yeah, because
how many cards?
48.
48, man, it's okay.
That's a pretty good deal. And plus, like the card values ranges, which is a whole other thing where it's like literally any type of card game is just like. Any card market, just like stocks, basically.
Yeah.
And then, like, once the card market crashes, there are like times where like you can buy really good cards for really cheap.
Yeah,
cards.
Trust me, I watched Max Mofo when he
oh the boxes the, yeah his for Pokemon
cards. It's making me want to go back and find all my old Pokemon cards and just beat like, myself over the head that my mom sold. I had one of the like somehow one of my friends got a really rare card, an ancient Mew.
Mm-hmm.
And we would...
This is the one that you go get in the movie?
Yeah. It was like one of those. And like, they are so freaking rare right now.
Yeah.
And like, all my friends at school were like, oh, it's such a cool card. I said, I'll beat you in a game for that card.
Oh, you're one of those kids.
I'll give you all my cards for that one card.
Oh, you gambled for them. Did you play Pokemon as in like, you just sent them out one by one and then like a video game?
Because it was a very big thing, we did a lot of things. So we played Pokemon, we played Bakugan, and we played Yu-Gi-Oh!
Mm-hmm.
And I was very good at Yu-Gi-Oh! And Bakugan as a kid, but not Pokemon.
Mm.
So I was very glad we did those two. I completely destroyed him, especially in Bakugan. Because I would, once again, we pretty much gambled our Bakugan and our cards and everything to get like the better card from someone else. And I would always win, clutch it up.
It's extremely weird to see like kids gambling like through these things.
I mean, it was really funny. Like in elementary school, a bunch of the girls in my grade were like, "Oh, the boys only play Yu-Gi-Oh cards. This is BS. They shouldn't be playing it." So we went to they were having a meeting, like a whole school meeting about bringing like Yu-Gi-Oh cards, Pokemon, like all that stuff.
Yeah, okay.
And I went, and I was like. This is ridiculous. Like, we're hanging out and having a good time as friends. and you're telling me that because girls don't like us playing with miniature balls, we have to stop playing it. This is BS. I am five. Let me do my thing. Let me play with my balls. It's so stupid.
Honestly, like, when I worked at summer camp, like, we had problems with kids, like, gambling Pokemon cards, which is, like, probably the thing where it's like, yeah, you shouldn't be doing this at this age, kind of. Because, like, they're, like,
I mean,
they're barely fifth graders. So, like, I understand that problem where it's, like, I don't want you guys gambling right now, but it's kind of cool you are.
It, like, it turns into a whole thing because, like, we're at a young age. I was at a young age where I was, like, 5 through 10 years old. So every freaking grade in elementary school, we'd play Pokemon and we'd trade it. We'd like bet our cards against each other. But like there was always that one freaking kid who would always complain when they lose.
Yeah, and that's the problem.
And they go to the teacher and they're like, he stole my card. And like everyone's like, but he said he would bet this.
There's literally multiple accounts of children saying,
he said he would do it.
He said he would do it and he did it and he lost. So.
And he lost. Like, grow a pair, dude. Like, real world, motherfucker. you think you can just invest $20 in the stock market and then like
expect to gain more than like
if you lose that money, if you lose that money, it's gone. Trust me. I not to go back to the Corona thing, but like once like the world really started getting like serious about it, I pulled all my money out of my stocks.
Yeah.
Like, I had AMD stock, and it has only been going down since Corona.
Yeah.
So, like...
Because I'll pretty much completely stop on a side note that inside China, if you look at the pollution, like, rate right now, it's as good as it's been since 2008 when they physically stopped all production just to make sure the air was clean enough for people to come for the World Olympics.
That's crazy.
And that's how good it is now compared to what it's been.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but back to Pokemon cards.
Yeah, back to Pokemon cards. And cardboard crack, yes.
Yeah, so I was playing a bunch of those as a kid. So, yeah. So, now I just wish I had all those cards again.
Yeah.
I wish I had them back to sell them off. Because I would make bank. I would stop going to school. I'd make so much money buying and reselling cards and everything. I've been watching this YouTuber who... He calls himself Jehovah's Witness.
Oh my God.
And he used to be a Call of Duty YouTuber. And because he's no longer part of the crew that he was with, he now just sells and buys stuff off of eBay and like goes to a bunch of like garage sales and then sells them off somewhere else for more money.
Yeah.
That stuff seems profitable.
It does. It's like dropping out. Like, it's like house flipping, but like with cards.
Yeah. So some of games, so we got you and Animal Crossing, Persona 5 Royale. Yeah. It's pretty much what I'm going with, too. Just because, like, I still have to beat Doom, the first
one. The original one?
Yeah, the one that came out in 2016.
Yeah.
I still got to beat that one.
How far are you in that, like, wise?
Probably, like, 3-4 levels in.
Oh, okay. Then you got ways to go.
So, yeah. Because there were so many games I wanted to play during the summer. Like, I played Tomb Raider, all the Tomb Raider games. I played The Witcher 3 again. Mm-hmm. I played Metal Gear Solid again.
5?
Yeah, okay. Metal Gear Solid 5. I just played a lot of games during the summer that I already... That's the thing about me. Like, I don't actually try to venture into new stuff.
No, you just like...
I like playing the same things over and over again. Fine. Watching the same things over and over again. Like JoJo's, I've rewatched part 4.
That's pretty funny because like me and Dylan are watching JoJo's right now. Like on like during like times we actually have free time.
To,
like,
where are you guys in JoJo's right now?
We finished part 1. We're like halfway through part 2. We've gotten to the part where I guess it's like this show came out in 2012, which is really weird because it's almost been 8 odd years the show's been running.
Mm-hmm.
So we've gotten to the part where we've just gotten back to Stranheim.
Okay, I love Joseph Joestar. He's one of my favorite Joestars, but. Yeah, so I'm really excited for Animal Crossing. I've never played an Animal Crossing before. I said this last podcast, and you got really upset with me and Chad. We both never played an Animal Crossing before. I think it's much more enticing for new players because it's got that like Minecrafty vibe where rather than you thrown into a city and like or a little
town, you just
town,
love yourself.
You are thrown into an empty island and you make it whatever you want. And I thought that's pretty cool. Like, I like that. I like playing, like, Minecraft-y, Terraria, sandboxy games rather than playing something linear, that's predetermined. RPGs, yeah. So I get to do whatever I want. And that should be fun. Persona 5 Royale is probably another game I'm going to get, which is, once again, I never played Persona 5.
It's just like perfect, an RPG.
It's the perfect time to play Persona 5 Royale because it's this original game plus new content, which is worth buying. I don't know if it's just worth buying if you've already played Persona 5.
I'm pretty sure it's worth buying because literally for what they've done in the past with like Persona 4 and Persona 4 Golden, they literally changed endings because of just difficulty-wise and then like also just like overall story points. They just change it.
Okay.
Some for the better, some for the worst. I'll let the opinion of the audience have that because some people like Persona 4 Golden, and for some characters, some didn't, which is completely understandable.
The audience.
Yeah.
It was five viewers who watched this podcast.
Yeah. My parents.
The first 4 minutes, all they do.
Yeah, that's true.
First 4 minutes.
Analytics.
I watched the whole thing.
I kind of, like, skip around sometimes when, even though, like, the ones I don't edit usually, I'll just skip around saying, okay, here's point A, point B, that kind of stuff. But besides that fact, let's get back to Persona 5. So my biggest gripe probably with it is that I probably won't know the story till halfway through the game, and then once they decide, like, okay, this is where the original content comes through, that's where it's going to get interesting. Because if you look through, if you just play the base game of the original one, you'll understand the story point up to, like, probably where you meet Haru. And, because, like, I'm pretty sure they changed that palace in a sense, because that was really hard and just confusing all the way, just the mechanics of it. Just, like, running back and forth was a bit tedious, but it was fun nonetheless.
I know that they changed, they put in a new mechanic where you can use the grappling hook now to go to new locations and similar maps to do, like, new stuff and everything.
Yeah.
Maybe they might add more, there might be more mechanics that are introduced. I had this person want to play the game to have sex with my teacher. I heard that she looks really hot. I want to play that version, that part of the game. That's the first thing I'll be doing once I go in the real world in that game.
That's fair. Pursuing my teacher. That was the second girl I romanced. First one was the clinic doctor.
Clinic doctor.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because you get the good perks out of that one first, because that gets you like all like the better healing items and better equipment.
I don't need that. I just need my teacher.
You just need your one waifu. You just need Becky.
I want her.
You just 100%. Need Becky to do a massage on you.
Yep. I saw a little animated short on YouTube where they did the anime version of Persona 5. And I saw that bit and I was like, that's kind of funny. Like, and hot at the same time. Perfect game.
For a time. So on Reddit, there's a bunch of subreddits dedicated to each waifu of Persona. For a time, I was the highest ranking upvoted content on there.
Proud of that?
On Church Kawakami, yes. I was very proud of that. 700 upvotes.
Okay.
It was just a screenshot from the anime.
I wouldn't be proud of that. We'll cut that out for you. We'll save your
I'll cut it out.
We'll save your representation.
Yeah, it's kind of weird though, because like nowadays you kind of really see this kind of like stan culture. Which, like, it's kind of weird to me, where it's like, okay, you have a favorite person, but you don't need to be, like, repping them constantly, you know?
Yeah, it's kind of like the, welcome back to the Pokemon podcast. It's kind of like Marnie and Team Yell, where they're, like, they want everyone else to lose. Speaking of stands, real quick.
Are you a stand user?
I go, my stand, I'm not doing this.
My stand, Ocean Man.
Ocean Man. Isn't that actually a stand? No.
No. Star Platinum is the joke. It's like, if Johto could choose his own stand name after a band, it'd be Ocean Man.
What's the, from part 8? Josuke's, it's like part 8 brings back Josuke in a different timeline.
Oh yeah, so basically that's a whole thing where it's like Gappy, which is the nickname for the character.
Yeah.
His stand name, Soft and Wet.
Oh, okay. Okay.
You still have Killer Queen and stuff, but like a lot of this stuff is like kind of more like the mid pop kind of era with like David Bowie. Kind
yeah,
of stuff.
I thought it was I thought it was that for a second.
D4C.
But me and my roommates were watching the new episode of My Hero Academia with Erin coming to the school for the first time.
Eri,
whatever. She comes to the school for the first time. More of a Nessico kind of guy.
Okay.
I'd rather protect her than protect Eri.
That's fair.
Straight up. And my roommates got real mad at me. They're like, that's wrong.
I mean, there's two completely different separate characters in a sense that...
But you must protect.
Yeah.
They're both adorable, and they're both, like, gotta protect them. But let's talk about video games. Let's talk about... I wanted to talk about today streaming services. Because in the news a lot recently, people are talking about Google Stadia. Companies came out and publicly have said they no longer want to work with Google Stadia.
That's fair.
They have no trust with it.
That's
fair. I remember what studio he was from, but a renowned game developer kind of director guy is now working for a Stadia team. So, you know.
Yeah, it's like a lot of the times Google will just buy up these resources just because they can.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And literally just test the water. He was like, Google Glasses, that was a complete failure. They just did it because they can.
Mm-hmm. But more, I just want to talk about streaming services in terms of gaming. Have you used them? What are your thoughts on them if you haven't? Will you ever use them? And do you think they're going to
take over consoles? I think digitally, we're probably going to be the same place. I don't think streaming is going to be that great because... Because if you want to play a Nintendo game, like a Nintendo Switch, they're not going to do Nintendo games on Switch or a streaming service because, one, it's like...
I mean, they do. It's just old Nintendo games right now.
Well, no, it's not really more of a streaming service. It's more of, like, go on the go, you know? Because that stuff, like, it's kind of already somewhat pre-downloaded.
Yeah.
So, like, I understand that point. I don't think anyone's going to be, like, feel like, oh, here's 60 frames per second, 144 hertz, for your monitor, like that kind of connection. I think streaming is very like limited in what we have now. Maybe like in 100 years when everyone has decent internet, maybe. But I think right now everything is still moving towards the digital market. Even GameStop's trying to do that. And we know GameStop is slowly dying out.
GameStop's dead, dude. It's dead. It's already dead.
I'm kind of waiting for the GameStop in my town to go out of business so I could just go there and buy all the Yu-Gi-Oh packs and cards.
Just quickly buy everything before they leave because they're desperate.
They're desperate for money and, like, you know, it's for what it's worth, it's probably a decent buy.
So you've never used a streaming service before.
I've used the Game Pass thing. The
Xbox Game Pass?
Yeah, I'm like,
what did you think about it?
It's okay. I mean, like, it has stuff on there. I'm not going to say, like, it's not a bad thing. I also have, like, the PlayStation Plus.
PlayStation Now?
Yeah, I'm just like, it's okay. Is it my cup of tea? Not really. Because, like, I always prefer, like, things being saved to my hard drive. Because I don't really play a lot of the games that I sort of buy. Like, the last thing I actually did play was Persona 5, the original one, because I had my third playthrough of that, just to, like, get more money.
Okay.
And just, like, just do it again, because it's a fun game.
Yeah.
But, like, overall, like, what even, like, when I was playing now, like, even just, like, that kind of system where it's like, oh, I pay for this and I get a certain amount of games for free for a month. That's okay, but some of the games aren't really that great, you know?
It's like 250 games on Game Pass.
I know, but I don't know why.
Just on PC alone.
I know that. I just don't want to do any of that, though. I just, like, I want to be excited by a trailer and be like, oh, I want to make sure I get my bang for my gut, for my buck. And I'm just like, I just kind of want to be excited, you know? Because, like, I feel like a lot of the times, like, we have so much, like, time to, like, digest all this content nowadays because, like, everyone, like, produces, like, a release date, like, at, like, when they announce it. And that can go awry when development comes through. Mm-hmm. But, like, I was kind of, like, back in the old days where, like, oh, you see the commercial. Then the release date's announced. And, like, that's kind of like, oh, shit, that's, like, 2 months from now. I'm excited. Because I feel like a surprise is, like, kind of the thing where you need to, like, kind of be active in and, like, make sure you're keeping your audience / like consumer on their toes, because, like, even though it might be a surprise, that may be like, oh, this game's coming out, the sequel to this game's coming out, the prequel was pretty good, maybe I want to spend money on this game rather than this game was originally released and I already seen so much gameplay of it. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah, I'm actually on the opposite end of you. I very much like streaming services. I like Xbox Game Pass a lot. Like, just this morning I was looking for a game called, this indie game called Indivisible, which I've been looking for on the Switch, which is going to have a release date, but Xbox Game Pass has it.
Yeah.
I spend $1 for Xbox Game Pass right now.
You might as well use it, yeah.
I'm going to play it. I have Ori and the Blind Forest set up. I have Bloodstained set up. I have Halo, Combat Evolved, or not Combat Evolved. Well, yes, I do.
Master Chief Collection.
The Master Chief Collection I have, but I do get to play Combat Evolved and Reach again, which is fun.
Wasn't Combat Evolved the one where it's like the League copy, where it's like, or maybe that was a mobile game, I forget.
No, Combat Evolved was the first Halo game ever created. Halo 1 is Combat Evolved.
I don't know. I always referred it to as Halo 1.
No, yeah. Halo Combat Evolved is the first one. And then it just goes Halo 2 and then Halo 3.
Yeah.
And then Halo 3 ODST, which I love all those games and I'm excited for. But I think I really like the streaming service idea because it's pretty much like Netflix for video games. And it's almost... Xbox has it perfect. I've used Xbox Game Pass. I'm still using it. And I've used PlayStation Now. I don't really like PlayStation Now just because their UI kind of sucks.
That's fair.
And that definitely ruins an experience for people. But like Xbox Game Pass has games day of. So like when Halo Infinite comes out...
You can play it.
I can play it on my Xbox Game Pass. I don't need to buy an Xbox Series X. I just can play it on my PC.
That's right.
Which is sick. And in terms of it being... like the future, maybe not right now.
Future,
maybe not right now, but like games, it's going towards there. Like for a while, like we would still go to the movie theaters, we would still buy DVDs, but now we don't do that.
Nah.
We watch it on our streaming services. Ticket sales for movies are down.
Yeah,
and yeah, it's only gonna happen. It's gonna be inevitable for games, but we'll see. It's a bit of a back and forth.
Yeah, that's fair. It's like, I'll say this, like everything is in like a pendulum arc. And I'll use this analogy a lot where if you see one movement swing one way, it's going to swing back really hard the other way.
Mm-hmm.
And you, because I think a lot of times like you get like this like push forward for new content, but then you kind of get this push back for older content.
Yeah.
So like that's why I kind of think that if you could constantly push out new and old content, like simultaneously, you kind of avoid that problem of like hard swings of like consumer marketing.
Mm-hmm. Do you buy consoles?
I bought my PS4 just for Persona 5.
And have you played any other games though?
Monster Hunter World, Metal Gear Solid 5, Gundam Versus. That's a big one for me.
Okay, but is Gundam Versus exclusively to PS4?
Yes.
Okay, are there any other PS4 exclusives? Because Persona 5 is
Knack.
A PS4. Knack?
Yeah.
Knack.
I played Knack too.
Am I talking to video game donkey? Like who?
I mean, it's not like
who
a...
other than him has played Knack?
I mean, it's you, not the apparently. Greatest. It's not the greatest game, but it's a game. It's something to play, you know. Like.
All right. Yeah, I kind of the same way. I bought my PS4 for the exclusives. So like, I played The Last of Us. I've been playing all the Uncharted games right now. I played Spider-Man, Horizon Zero Dawn, and then I played other games like Red Dead Redemption on there.
Yeah, I play Red Dead 2 on the PS4. That's it too.
Yeah, I mean, I've bought every console from the past console generation. So I have an Xbox One, I have a PlayStation 4, and I have a Switch.
Yeah, my argument for not buying an Xbox One was like I have a PC that's way better than an Xbox One.
I mean, you have a PC that's way better than a PlayStation 4, too.
Yeah, but you can't play exclusives on there.
That's the thing. That's the real catalyst. Yeah. There's more exclusives you like on the PS4 than there are on the Xbox. For me, I like my Xbox. I got my Xbox originally because that's what me and my friends were playing on.
Yeah, that's fair.
We were playing on the 360, which was a very good console. And then we were all like, oh, we really are enjoying Destiny on Xbox 360. Let's import it to our Xbox Ones. And we all got an Xbox One. We all played Destiny. And it was awesome. We played Destiny. We played Halo.
Uno.
Did not play Uno.
Really? You didn't play Uno? Day one?
No, sir.
You got it for free.
Day one. The first game I played on Xbox One was probably... I'm thinking... It's been so long since the Xbox One came out. It was like, what, 2012?
No, like 10, 11. Has it been that long?
It definitely wasn't 15.
2012?
Dude, yeah.
Eight? It was like
I
a
was
decade.
I was 12 years old when I was playing Xbox One. How old do you feel now?
I feel old. I'm turning 20 in a couple weeks, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, great being too decades. Yeah, it's like I grew up playing Nintendo and just like, oh, PS3. And then like, I bought my PS4. I was really debating on either getting a Switch or PS4. But I was like, Persona 5 seems way more interesting than the game I got for Switch, was Xenoblade Chronicles 2. But like, they're both exclusive to the consoles and they're both fine. They're both anime waifu games, so
yeah.
It's just like I kind of want to experience Persona more stylized rather than like have 50 characters drawn by different doujin artists from one game, you know, which is literally the epiphany of Fate Grand Order, because literally every card is drawn by a different person,
okay.
Which is really interesting to see.
What was the first console you ever bought for yourself? You personally, your parents?
PS4. Because I had the money at that time because I was working.
Okay.
Second console was a Switch.
Switch? That's the opposite.
Yeah, my parents did not agree my money spending with them that way. Because I got a Switch like right before I went to college, I got a Switch.
All right, so you got it in 2018?
Yeah.
All right. I got mine before college in 2017. I bought it a couple weeks because kind of the same thing. I got a job. It was like, man, I'm making a crap ton of money. Most of it was going towards gas money.
Yeah.
But I was saving up $360 for the Switch plus Zelda.
Yeah.
And so I went to every freaking corner of my town to find a place that was selling a Switch. Got it at Toys R Us. And
R&B.
And it was so funny. I got it. I bought it. And some dude, it's pretty much like this. This is me walking away.
Oh, someone wanted to go buy one and you bought the last one.
And he's like, hey, do you guys have any more of what he just bought? And I gotta buy one for my son's birthday. And the guy's like,
oh my God.
Guy's like, nah, we don't have any more Switches, dude. He just bought the last one.
Oh.
And I ran out the door. Why'd you call me out like that? Why'd you call me out like that? It was really funny. But I got it, and that was my first big.
That
was my first
know.
Ever big
Do you
purchase.
Think, you think you could have went back to him and raised the price by like $40?
I'd be like, hey, it's $500.
Oh, so okay.
I make it even more money.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So yesterday, when I was walking back from class, there was a big game yesterday for UConn basketball.
I saw that. Yeah.
Yeah. So a woman comes up behind me and my friends while we're walking back with a very thick UK accent where it's like, oh, hey lads, what are you doing? You going to the game tonight? I was just like, oh, well, okay. That's one thing. Mm-hmm. The accent took me off. I was like, maybe I got a spare ticket somewhere. And she's like, oh, okay, well, what's your price? I was like, oh, we're doing this now? Are we haggling? I was like, okay, $60. And she's like, $60? It was like, yeah, it's a scalper's market. What are you going to do about it?
How much is a ticket?
I don't know.
For students, it's like...
It's free. For students, it's free as long as you have space.
Mm-hmm.
For outside, I think it could get up to 100.
Oh, you gave her a fair deal.
I gave her a well fair deal. Like
$60 for a ticket that's originally free?
Well, for students. I think for people outside, it's probably like 50.
Yeah, that's
so that's like a $10. It's not bad. And she was like, ah, forget it. And she walked off with her kids. I was just like, okay, cool.
She had, wow, you were haggling.
No, her two daughters were here. And her daughters were like, Mom, don't do this. Don't do this. Please don't do this.
What do they look like? Like 12-year-olds or like?
No, they were college kids. They're college kids. They go here, apparently.
That's funny. I saw that. I was coming back from a thing that I was working on. I saw that I was getting really busy at Campbell. And I was like, is there a game today?
Yeah.
I've never gone to a basketball game. You gone to a basketball game? Any sports games here?
Sports ball?
Sports ball? You ever been to the ball sports thing?
No, actually, I've not.
Really?
I've tried to go to like some volleyball stuff and like some like intramural kind of club stuff, like just the men's soccer games I've tried to go to. It's just like, it's not my cup of tea.
Not even with friends? Like none of your friends are like, hey,
no,
let's go to the soccer game?
Like, you're not interested in sports, and like I've been signed into sports, Jake's not interested in sports, yeah. It's not that big of a deal for me. Mm-hmm. We'll watch the Super Bowl together sometimes with like me and my old friend group.
That's the Super Bowl. I'm talking about UConn.
No, never. Even though like it's kind of a disappointment because like we're the basketball capital of the world.
Just
but, like,
in general.
I just don't like loud crowds, you know?
Like,
I'm that kind of person.
My freshman year, the first week, me and my friends, we went to the hockey game. We went to the soccer game. We went to the baseball game. We went to the football game. I haven't gone to any of those since. But freshman year, I at least tried to do it. I'm surprised you haven't even gone to one, even just one soccer game.
Well, I just know that it's just not my cup of tea, you know? Mm-hmm. Where it's like, I just don't like the crowd that I'm in.
Yeah, but you enjoy those LAN parties. You enjoy those LAN parties. Like,
do
like,
I really?
Husky games.
Do you enjoy because, like...
Do you enjoy Husky games? This is official UCGC podcast. Do you enjoy Husky games?
I enjoy it to the sense I can sit down and play games, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We're like... Because, like, I'm not competing for anything. If I was competing for something, maybe. But
well,
like,
didn't you compete in the Street Fighter thing last year?
No, I ran that thing. I ran that, which is... I don't want to say anything about that right now. But I competed inside the Fighters Tournament. And like, that was a lot of fun, because, like, I got to play.
You and, like, played I was recently?
No, I haven't, because I haven't even touched... that's the whole thing about PS4, which was for Fighters too, because they announced that around the same time. Fighters, I bought the second wave of DLC, but, like, I haven't, like... played a lot of it, but a couple of kids on the floor that I live on, Epic Man, he plays it, which is a really funny story too, because when I first joined the club originally, we used to have a second club called Fighting Games Club. We used to meet all the way down in the science buildings, which sucked, because I lived at Watson at that time.
Yeah.
So I'd take my electric longboard all the way down to the science building, mm-hmm. to the Ken building, and go up, and then literally just sit there for like a couple minutes to like learn fighting games, and then surprisingly, I met one of the floor mates over there mm-hmm. first, and then we were on the same floor this year, which is really surprising. We were just talking about that at like lunch the other day. I was mm-hmm. just like, oh wow, that's kind of weird.
Yeah, I've been watching a bunch of fighters right now. The game is very different.
Now. It's all waves.
It's not just like beam assists. There's such big changes. Like
yeah, because
even grabs are like half. Like 2-3 frames faster.
Yeah.
Making it much harder to tech that. Same with just the idea of like going Marvel versus Capcom, where they're doing the different the A, B, and C assists.
Which isn't bad. I think that opens up a lot more competition.
It allows Krillin to be a viable option. Krillin's good. Krillin's a good character before season 3. But his assist
was
terrible. The Bean
and Rock was not good.
The Bean and the Rock were the big, like, some dude said it best, like, how are you going to throw a freaking rock at people that can destroy planets?
Exactly.
What the heck? That's some dumb shit. How is Yamcha better than Krillin?
Yeah.
That's insane.
Sensu Bean!
Yeah, but now he's got a beam assist for his B, which makes him infinitely more viable to use. Because beam assists are the meta. And they're insane.
I heard Kefla is actually pretty insane because like her level 3
really
or level 1's tracking.
Freaking fast. Her level 3 isn't a track. Her level 3 is a full screen blast.
Okay, so then it's a level 1 that's a tracker where she like does the balls and they fly at you.
Oh yeah, she has kind of like a Goten level 1 where she shoots
red balls in the air,
and they just hit you and you can either reflect it. That stuff is much easier now. It's definitely her just speed. She's very fast. She's a fast fighter. A lot of characters that are originally...
How can you fight against something that you can't hit?
Yeah, she's like super fast. But a lot of characters that weren't so optimal in like season 2 are a lot better now. Like in the very beginnings of Dragon Ball FighterZ, Goku Black... was like top tier, and he kind of went down.
It was kind of like then Android 21 came up, and mm-hmm. they were just like people need time to find the combos, you know.
Yeah,
that's the thing. So you had like how many characters? You had like 12 plus characters
at the beginning of Dragon Ball FighterZ. There was probably 20 fighters.
There's probably 20 fighters in that thing. Plus, you have your base ones. Plus, you have to go literally play test. Through your entire like combination of like, okay, you have a point, like a front man, middle man, and the anchor. Then you got to figure out, okay, which ones work together that well. Because I know like beginning, like Gotenks and Android 21 worked extremely well together.
Yeah, Gotenks used to be insane. Still is insane.
Just loops.
Yeah, his loops and everything. So many characters that you wouldn't consider putting together. Like I was watching a video where some dude was playing as Trunks, Piccolo and Bardock, and it's a weird kind of combo. Like Trunks was his point. He had a C assist on Bardock, and then Piccolo had his B assist, which is insane now because he just shoots two blasts.
Yeah, but they're grenades.
But like his Hell Zone grenades, they're only they're spaced out. So like he shoots a really big Hellzone grenade that's really fast, mm-hmm. but then there's one little small
there's
one
a trailer.
That just comes out out of nowhere. And I was watching him like, that's insane. Like, I gotta go back to Dragon Ball FighterZ and learn all of the
new characters.
Because not just the new characters, just the new mechanics. Moves. Just the new mechanics and everything. Because I ran, when I was playing, I used to run Goku, Yamcha.
Which Goku, though?
Super Saiyan Goku.
Okay.
Super Saiyan Goku, Yamcha, and Bardock. Because Bardock is insane. I would swap between Bardock and Goku being my point. But I'd mostly put Bardock as my point because Goku's beam assist was insane. And then Yamcha's assist is insane. And it's been such a freaking good game. And especially now that like Kefla is looking badass. Like, she looks fucking awesome. She's murdering the competition. And then next month...
Look at Gogeta.
It's a better fusion than Gogeta. Even though Gogeta has some freaking awesome looking moves, dude. They didn't have to go hard on making all of his level 1s and level 3s have cinematics. But they did, and I appreciate it. Like, and they're, like, freaking, like, the framing of everything is almost exactly like it was in the movie. And it's insane. But, yeah, I could go back to Dragon Ball FighterZ. Fighting games is awesome. That was my first fighting game, like where I really, like, sat down to play it. Because I used to play, like, what? Marvel vs. Capcom at the arcade.
Street Fighter. Fighting games were more of like a couch co-op kind of thing for me. So like I had the experience of like having someone there with me. I don't like playing alone.
Technically, Smash is my first fighting game.
I won't technically
say. Watch yourself. We got a big, big Smash.
I would say as like a competitive fighter, I would say it's more of like competitive platformer, you know?
No.
Really?
No, it's a fighter, dude. It's a fighter.
I don't think it's not a traditional fighter in the sense that
it's not a traditional fighter, but it's a fighting game.
Yeah.
It is a very hardcore competitive fighting game. And we just lost every viewer.
Yeah.
Because you said that.
Thousand down.
We just lost. Now they're going to branch off of UCGC because you just said Smash is not a fighting game. Oh, man.
No, it's a fighting platform. That's all I got to say. Because it involves like sort of environments into it too.
Yeah, but so do other games. You know, Tekken.
Yeah.
Tekken's like that.
But like, I kind of compare Tekken to more of like a modern
Injustice 2. Injustice games, you literally like can throw things at people.
I find that kind of cheap though, you know? Because like, if they're at the sliver of health and you just like swing something at them, it's like...
Block, dude. Don't be dumb. Block my move. That's it. I love fighting games because it's like, I like to play it in the mind game sense. So whenever I'm playing with friends or whatever, I like to just mess with them outside of the game, like being like, hey dude, check this out. I'm gonna grab you. And he's like, no, you're not. I'm like, yeah, I am.
You grab him.
He tries to go to protect himself from the grab, but I call it out, and then I go for the grab. He's like, how did you know I was gonna do that? I'm like, I literally told you
my first move.
And you, I knew what you were
my first
do.
Move that you go to the ear, and then I play against that.
Like, you know, one of my favorite things was when my friend was first playing Dragon Ball FighterZ, I would do the same thing over and over again so I can teach him how to do something.
Yeah.
And he's like, dude, I'm about to download you so hard right now. And when he finally figured out how to defend himself from one of my... Because I would do a Dragon Rush, and then whenever he does a Dragon Rush on me, I would do a launcher.
Oh, yeah. So
And he was like, okay, how am I going to block that? And so he figured out, don't use Dragon Rush all the time.
Exactly. That's like one of the basic things you probably should learn first. Like, that's all. Don't even use it, like, even you're far away. Just kind of dash forward, you know?
Yeah. And it was funny, you know? He's just like, now I've downloaded complete. I found that really funny that he said that. But... What time we got? What time we got?
We're still at 47 minutes. I think we could go for a little couple. Yeah, it's only 4:48. We could go for a little bit longer.
All right. Yeah, let's go for.
How do you feel about the announcement of the Last of Us TV show?
Okay, I was gonna bring that up. I am beyond excited for that. That because it's got Neil Druckmann, the creative director
for Chernobyl.
No. Neil Druckmann is the creator. Is the creative director for Last of Us. He wrote and directed The Last of Us.
Oh, I thought they got the
guy. The other guy, yes.
The director,
the
director of the director.
The other guy who who did Chernobyl is also a part of it. They pretty much have the entire Naughty Dog crew working on writing for a Last of Us TV show. I saw that yesterday, and all I did was just spam likes from every person that commented on it. Troy Baker's comment, Neil Druckmann's comment.
You didn't get her cast. You didn't get her cast.
So I saw one that was of someone said the Jamie Lannister's actor should do it as Joel. And
I can see that happening, but I don't think he's the best pick. And
Caitlin Delver.
I thought you were going to say Jenner.
Daver. She was in Booksmart.
Once again, did not see that movie, so.
You know how, I don't want to make it seem like it's a rude thing, but like, you know, there's the fat and the skinny one in the poster. Have you seen any of the trailers for it?
For?
Booksmart?
No.
You don't know anything about Booksmart?
No.
Okay. Well, then never mind. She was in Booksmart. She played the lesbian best friend in the movie.
Okay.
And she's been in a bunch of other movies, obviously. But that would be a really good combination. Someone said Hugh Jackman should play Joel.
Hugh Jackman?
I thought that was kind of a funny one.
That's a funny one, but I could see it. I could see it happening, the gruffness. You play the Wolverine, so...
I've always thought Ellie looked like Ellen Page. So,
yeah,
I kind of think that would be cool.
It is also up to the HBO to like say, okay, yeah, and also on Naughty Dog's part, like they created the roles, they should have some say who is being cast in them.
Well, for the most part, HBO just kind of lets people do whatever the freak they want.
That is true.
They just let here's a bunch of money, make whatever you want on our network.
Yeah.
So I think it's going to be probably one of the better video game adaptations.
Well, when you think about it, it's pretty much just like The Walking Dead, but like kind of focuses more on the two people aspect rather than...
Just focusing on Joel and Ellie.
Exactly.
That's it.
That's all you have to do. You can even make Walking Dead just focus on two people, and that's it.
Yeah. I just think it's going to be way better. I think it'll be awesome. Because like, it's not like The Walking Dead where like, at least towards the end of the books, Rick kind of is a good person. Spoilers for The Last of Us if no one's played it, but...
Joel's not a good person.
Joel is an awful human being. Joel... So I'm doing a paper for my media literacy class on masculinity and fatherhood in video games, and I'm using The Last of Us as one of the games. And Joel's relationship with Ellie seems like it's a good thing, but he's very manipulative.
Yeah.
It's very much a power dynamic between him and Ellie, because you understand what Joel wants in the relationship because you play as Joel throughout the majority of the game, but you never know what Ellie wants.
Yeah, it's not, and you don't switch between the perspectives.
Yeah,
either.
And that's never a good thing. Versus a game like The Witcher 3, where you kind of understand what Ciri wants.
Law surprises.
The law surprise. I love that. I love that. Everything. I love The Witcher 3. Have you played The Witcher 3?
I played the first part of it with my friend.
What's the first part to you? Because that game can be 100 hours long.
I'm not sure if it's the first part. He introduced me when he's like facing like some sort of gargoyle creature inside a village.
Gargoyle? There's so many. That could be anything.
It seemed fun to me, like the mechanics of like using some sort of magic plus like combat. It's interesting to me.
It's probably one of the best games. It's probably the best game I've ever played. Like probably second to Halo 4. Because I love Halo 4. But, yeah, that was a... You like that one? Yeah, Halo 4 is sick, dude.
Halo 4 was awesome. The one with the other planet where it's, like, the aliens besides the Covenant, right?
The Forerunners?
Yeah, Forerunners. That's what it was.
And it was the Didact, dude. Oh, man. Have you been playing the... do you play on PC or Xbox anymore?
Xbox, purely.
Xbox. We just got Combat Evolved on PC, finally. I forgot how good that game is. All the Halo games are insane. They're so good. They are probably one of the... They are the best... That is the single-handedly the best franchise, first-person franchise ever created. Call of Duty looks like dog shit.
That's fair.
In comparison. Bioshock. People are going to hate me for this. Bioshock, dog shit compared to Halo.
I feel for style, yeah. Like, style points, it's very consistent. Like, Halo's been very consistent across, like, every single game.
Bioshock Infinite's freaking awesome. But, like, Halo Reach, dude. Halo Reach is probably one of the... Is the best Halo out of them all, personally, I like Halo Reach a lot.
Because that's actually
Halo 4 is a close second, though. Halo 4 is, like, right there. And then ODST is right behind that. ODST is so fun. Because you don't play as a Spartan in that one.
Exactly.
So, like, death is much more prevalent in that game than it is in anything else. But, like, I love the customization in Halo Reach, where I can just customize my character. I got, before they took away all my my achievements and all my everything I did in Halo Reach was taken away from me in the Master Chief Collection. And I used to have, like, I had the blue flame skull because I versed a Bungie employee in a match. And apparently they give you the blue flame if you verse them in a match, which is pretty sick. Similar to how in Halo 3, if you play a Bungie employee during the game's release, you get, like, a katana, which is also pretty sick. But, like, I got that. I was like field general or one of those, like, really sick emblems.
High ranking ones.
I was, like, so close, like, the really freaking cool, like, Eclipse and, like, all those other ones. You know what I mean? Like, all those, like, they did Eclipse, Solar Beat. Like, it was so freaking awesome. And then they took it all away from me in the Master Chief Collection, and I've been angry at the game since.
Nice.
Because the grind is outrageously long.
That's also another thing. Actually, Pokemon Mystery Dungeon came out, or it's coming out, and it came out today. Reviews, not so great. It's mediocre at best, just because...
I mean, the games were always mediocre.
Exactly. Just, like, I don't think Pokemon works in that format as, like, a dungeon crawler.
I think it does. I just, they make it, it's for kids.
Even as a kid, I thought it was a tedious game just to go and, like,
it's hard.
Grind.
It's a hard game.
Some of those dungeons go for, like, 80 plus floors.
No, I remember that. Yeah, I was playing one mission. It was like, it kept going and going. I was the idiot who never knew how to evolve my Pokemon.
Oh, I evolved my Pokemon. Like, it's like you just go to the Wishcash Pond or whatever.
Didn't know that.
Didn't know that?
I didn't know that until last week or something like that.
Yeah, I didn't know, like, how you did it for other Pokemon, though. I always got it for the main two.
Yeah, but I had, like...
Everything else was like, yeah, you can't do it.
Because I was a Charmander, and my teammate was a Treecko. And we were both level 100 by the end of the game. Yeah. And we were still just both a Treecko and a Charmander.
Yeah. I think I chose... I got a Squirtle.
See, if I didn't get Charmander or Pikachu, I'd reset the game.
Yeah, that's fair.
To figure out how to get those.
Which never made sense
to me.
That is, like, literally the first BuzzFeed quiz.
That's the first
BuzzFeed quiz. Which Pokemon are you?
Which Pokemon will you become? Oh, you're a Meowth.
Yeah.
And you'd turn off your game and
restart.
Do it again. Because who the fuck wants to be a Meowth when you could be a Charmander?
Or even Pikachu.
Pikachu. Dude, I was like, if I wasn't Pikachu or Charmander, I wasn't doing it. And even then, like, if I got a Charmander, I would be like, I really want Pikachu, though. Because I didn't realize that you could evolve your Pokemon either. So, like, it didn't really matter to me if I was a Pikachu.
Yeah.
Because, like, regardless, like, you can't get a Thunderstone in that game to become a Raichu.
Raichu anyway, yeah.
But, I'm not getting it.
No.
I'm not getting Mystery Dungeon DX. Yeah, I wasn't really interested. Speaking of games... like DX, like remakes.
Yeah.
I played Final Fantasy VII Remake.
You did, the demo.
Recently. The remake, the demo thing, yeah.
Yeah. How was it?
It's freaking good, dude.
Do you play the more advanced combat or the simple combat, turn-based?
You could do both.
Yeah, well, I'm asking what you played.
I did both.
Oh, you did both?
Like, I would do a hack. I switched between Cloud and Barrett and... For the most part, whenever, like, you have to, because you have to do both, because you can't defeat the final boss
without
in the demo without using lightning magic.
Yeah.
So you have to do the turn-based part of it. But even then, it was very similar to Final Fantasy XV, where you'd fight and the game would kind of, like, slow down a little bit, and you'd tell your party to do a specific move.
Yeah.
And I would do that.
Like, Gladius, do this.
Yeah, Gladius do this, Noctis do this. Same, and then the same thing in this. I would switch between Cloud and Barret, and sometimes I'd tell Barret to, like, use his overcharge, his, like, big attack, and then I'd switch modes that Cloud used. So I was more of a Punisher mode. So I was very slow, but I dealt a lot of heavy damage.
Yeah.
And yeah, I did a lot of, like, I, because, like, you press X to do the command. choose your command tree. And I'd use a bunch of their special moves to get it through, and then to do your limit breaker, you have to do the commands too.
Yeah.
And both characters have a limit break. And then, like, what really shocked me, though, was, like, I have a pretty crappy TV in my dorm. Like, it's not a perfect 1080p.
Yeah.
It looks kind of crappy. But when the first freaking cutscene of Aerith just sitting on the sitting in the floor, like, praying or whatever, I was, like, I was by myself in my room, by the way, when I did this. I was, like, fuck, this looks good. Like, out loud, I, like, said, like, this looks fucking awesome.
So what is the demo, like, story-wise?
It's just the first part, hour.
First hour of the game? It's
the first hour of the game.
Okay.
And it's good.
All right.
The combat felt great. Especially switching between, because like I said, I played Final Fantasy 15 where I did it.
Yeah,
it's been a while since I played Final Fantasy 15, but I did it before.
Yeah.
So I mean, it wasn't anything jarring. I thought I was gonna hate it when I first heard it, but there is no like you choose one or the other. It is a combination of both, where you button mash, but you can also press X to do certain abilities and then tell your teammates to do other things too. Because your teammates don't really do any specialty things.
They'll just like do auto attacks like they did in like...
Mm-hmm. They'll do the basic. Yeah. They do basic stuff. They don't...
I think that's where it loses me inside the charm of it. Because like, I don't... Like for Final Fantasy, like it doesn't have enough charm for me to like play a lot of it, you know?
What does that mean?
Like charm, like I usually derive from art style and I don't like realism, kind of the realistic aspects of the Final Fantasy. I'm more of like the Dragon Quest kind of people and like all the more cartoony aspects.
You like the Akira Toriyama.
Yeah, it's more charming to me because like I grew up with Dragon Ball and that kind of stuff. But like I feel like people can be saying, oh, it's charming its own way. And I agree with that. But like it's just not my cup of tea where it's like I don't like realism. I play games to escape to fiction.
I will say this. The game is not realistic at all, dude. There's a talking cat.
Well, no. I'm talking about like...
a talking cat and Cloud has dumb fucking hair.
I'm talking about
wields
model
a
wise.
Giant
it looks
fucking
realistic.
Sword. I mean, they look anime. They don't look realistic. They don't look like Avengers. They don't look like the Avengers movie or game that's going to come out in May. It looks like a Japanese anime, just with 3D models. Like it doesn't look. I don't think it looks realistic at all. Especially like the way like Cloud looks and the way Barret acts and looks, and then there's one character named Jesse in the demo who everybody online's like, man, she's thirsty for Cloud. Like literally, there's a conversation like at the very beginning of the game. You kill some guys, and then she and this other guy are trying to hack a door, and they're having a conversation between each other while you walk over to talk to Barret, and she's like, he's kind of a good looker. And the other guy's like, why is every dude we hire you always got to hit on? And she's like,
this is why we can't keep anyone.
she's like, I don't know. He just got really good looking eyes. He knows how to use that sword, unlike you. He's like, what's that supposed to be? And I was like, that is actually kind of funny. Like, you get to hear like little side little conversations. It's like, they don't feel realistic. Like, sure, maybe the art design, But even then, like the hair, the way the hair looks on some of these characters, the way their facial expressions look at certain things, they don't feel realistic. They feel like an anime, and anime is not realistic at all. Anime is like jarringly different. Like when I was watching Hero Academia with my roommates, I was like, dude, do you guys notice how big Izuku's eyes are? Like they're like this fucking huge, dude. And that's not realistic. And that's a good charming look, I guess. But
I don't know. I think it's just not stylized enough, you know?
I don't know.
I think that's the thing I probably have problems with. It's not just stylized.
You just don't like the style. Because it is stylized. You just don't like the style.
That's fair.
Yeah. So, any games you've been playing this week?
I've been playing gacha games, pretty much.
Wow.
Yeah. Love Live! School Idol Festival All-Stars came out, so I've been doing that. Oof. Good music, I'll say that.
Good music. Yeah. All right, you so mobile games and everything.
Yeah, mobile games. That's all the time I have.
Right now is midterms and finals and everything. Like, I played the first level of Halo Combat Evolved, and then I played only an hour of Final Fantasy VII because it's only an hour.
That's only an hour.
Pretty much what I'll be doing is playing a lot of games during
over break.
Break, I'm thinking of replaying Metal Gear Solid 5 again. And I got to play Last of Us and The Witcher for my essay that I'm working on.
I don't think I have time to play games over the break. Because I got to start on all my projects because my major revolves around projects for classes. Mm-hmm. So, like, that's continuous overall. And, like, I'm working in a team. So, like, I have to get stuff done by a certain day to make sure they have everything done by a certain day.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of a stepping stone kind of pace.
Okay. Yeah. Thankfully, I'll be by Teachers Row, like, after the exams next week, there's nothing. Just right after break, you get to do whatever you want. Once break happens, you can do whatever you want. Don't have to worry about classes and stuff. I was like, that is the greatest thing I've ever heard come out of a teacher's mouth at this school. Nothing during break.
I mean, Kelly's, your teachers already canceled some of your classes before break.
Yeah.
What? What class standing are you in?
I'm a sophomore.
You fucking sophomores, dude.
I mean, I have work over break, dude.
That's awesome. When I was a sophomore, I got so much work during spring break. That's so unfair.
What about you, Josh?
I got work.
So. Yeah, see, he's got work.
And you're a sophomore too?
No.
Senior? Junior. No, shit. He's got work, of course. Dude's got stuff.
Dylan, what about you?
Dylan.
Yeah, see? It's not like free time.
That's the luckiest shit right there.
Yeah.
Leaving on a Wednesday? Yeah. Fuck.
I have Fridays off, but like, it's just my parents aren't gonna pick it up. And I need to bring my PC down to do work. So it's like, I need to bring the box down. I'm not carrying that on a 5-hour commute down to Greenwich. Are you kidding me? Like, dragging a mid-tower PC in a large cardboard box through Hartford Station? No, sir.
Dude, thank God I got a car on campus, because, like, I'm just bringing my PS4 and my desktop back.
That's it.
And then clothes, of course, because, like, I got none of that. Any of you guys play any video game? Anything? Anything
you
cool?
You play Smash.
Dude, Battlefront 2.
Oh, yeah. Great. You've been playing
Battlefront 2?
Battlefront 2.
That's a fucking classic right there, dude.
No,
the new one.
The new, okay, never mind. Oh, wait, no, but it still looks
it's
fucking
still
awesome,
good.
Though.
Yeah, it's basically a different game now, honestly.
Yeah, before Rise of Skywalker came out, they had, like, a big push to get people to play the game, because it was, like, $40 plus every DLC that came out before was free.
Which is a great price for, like,
for $40 to get everything?
$40 for loot boxes.
I told him on Christmas Day, my brother got me a Fallen Order for Christmas.
Oh, okay.
And I told him, idiot, you should have gotten me Battlefront 2, dude. Anyone else? You guys playing games? Watch any movies?
Oh, speaking of movies, me and Dylan went to see the Sonic movie like a month ago. When we recorded the last podcast.
Was that a waste of your time?
No, it was surprisingly wasn't a waste of our time.
It was surprisingly good
and surprisingly charming. I think Ben Schwartz does a great job as Sonic right now. And I think James Marsden was pretty decent. And Jim Carrey, sorry. I was going to say Steve Carell for some reason. I was like, Jim Carrey does a great job as Dr. Robotnik. And just like overall, I think it's a decent movie. It's just a shame that the studio shut down over it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that going forward, there's probably a decent market for these kind of movies, but there's not a major market. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think the video game stuff might be things that are more realistic, kind of like The Last of Us. But you were going to say something. You were going to say you saw a movie?
Yeah, last night in my dorm, I was watching Donnie Darko.
That's a good one, though. That's a good freaking movie. Was that your first time watching it?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It's pretty fucking weird, dude, right? It made no sense the first time I saw it, too.
Oh.
The ending on, like, YouTube.
You had to figure it out. The ending explained. Come on, dude.
Oh, so for my film class, for some amount of storytelling, we got to watch Magnolia, which is a Paul Wes Anderson movie. And literally, the ending of that film is Exodus 8:2, which is also in A Plague of Frogs. And it literally rains frogs in the last part of the movie. No one knows why that happens. And, like, you only get a couple of hints of, like, 8-2s inside the film. But it could go completely unnoticed if you don't really look for it, you know? It's one of those movies where it's, like, really weird.
I love movies that, like, do, like, those hints. Like, I watched a shit ton of movies this weekend. I watched all the Daniel Craig movies.
Okay.
All the Daniel Craig James Bond movies.
Okay.
They are all so fucking good.
Yeah.
Skyfall is one of the best, if not the best, action movie of the 2010s. And then I saw, and then speaking of like movies that like hint things, the Knives Out does that a lot.
Yeah.
I saw Knives Out twice this weekend.
Really?
And I saw it in theaters, and then I saw it once by myself this last weekend. And then a friend of mine, we were hanging out, and he said, "Hey, you want to?" Because I had to like buy him pizza for him helping me out with a project or
That's
whatever.
Fair, yeah.
And I was like, "You want to watch a movie? Out. You want to watch a movie while we do it?" And he's like, "Yeah, what movie you want to watch?" And I'm like, "You've seen Knives Out, yeah?" And he's like, "No." And there are so many hints as to like, I'm not going to spoil any of it because I don't know if any of have we all seen the movie?
No.
Not going to spoil anything.
Like there's a couple,
there are hints to tell you who did what and why things.
There's a couple of cliches in there as well, where it's like the fun game at the end with the note. I was just like, I call that from the beginning. It was like when the character first opened the note, it's like, oh, it's Blake.
Yeah, I
call that from a mile away. It's like that's like
That's a spoiler.
It's a spoiler. They're not gonna know what it is though.
She wants to see the movie. She literally just said, don't spoil it.
It's fine. You're not going to know the part until you get to it.
It's a good movie, though. I recommend you find a way to watch it. It is probably one of the better movies of 2019.
Yeah.
But enough of the movie podcast. If you want to sign us out, Davis.
It's gone on long enough. All right. So... thank you, everyone, for watching this week's or listening to this week's podcast. And we'll get this up by the end of the month. And we'll see you all next month.
Bye.
Bye.
All right.
Neat.